This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Yes. Cap for Life, the Netherlands are the ones that make the elite chips, actually, by the way. So yeah, they got like a hook on the entire world because they make the best ones, actually. But yes, how you doing, my brother? You doing good?
Doing good, man. Visiting my parents up here in St. Augustine, hanging out with them for the weekend. So you know, anytime you can get the grandchildren with the grandparents, it's a good thing.
And remember what I always tell you when you go there: stay away from the fucking Fountain of Youth. Okay, all right. That shit is piss water. Anyway. Yeah. So, and that's a warning for all of you. If you go to St. Augustine and then they show you the Fountain of Youth and then they got a little cup and you want to, no,
don't drink it.
No, it's all good. No, I'm not interested. Not interested. Right? Because that pipe is connected to Mexico. I'm just telling you. All right. All right. So anyways, there ain't no Fountain of Youth there. You'll be a fountain of exorcist all over the place. That's what you're going to be. So let me ask you something, because I know we talk football all the time, and I'm going to kind of relate it to football, but I'm going to start with basketball. Mm-hmm. And she'll never say it because she's, you know, classed to like the utmost level there is. And we're talking about Katie Meyer, who just retired. Right. And, dude, it's all over the place. You know, she had to deal with it the year before with the Cavender twins. Mm-hmm. And so and now, you know, they're already transferring out. And so, and it was a bad year. I wonder, she wouldn't say it, but this new NIL college sports, if you're an established coach for many, many years now, and you've been doing it the other way, this is such a drastic change. You know, Saban can say it because of where he was at and what he accomplished and all that shit. And whether you like Saban or not, you can't disagree with what he was talking about, actually. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even though they've been paying people for years in different ways, but now it's so open that it can be used against you. You know what I mean? And so I wonder, you know, we can only speculate, but I wonder how much of that really had to do with Katie's decision that, like, man, this game has changed. This doesn't really. And in her case, there's a little bit more about love for the game and all that, because the NIL money isn't nearly as crazy there as it is on the men's side in football. You know what I'm saying? But still, it has changed the game. And I wonder how much that has affected her decision.
That's a great question. Oh, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Katie myself and you know, sort of a one-on-one thing to get an idea of why it is that she really felt the need to do this now at age 56. But I think for a lot of the coaches who have been at this for a long time, like she has, she's, you know, spent her first 4 years at Charlotte before spending the last 19 at Miami as a coach. It has changed drastically, right? What matters in recruiting. And when you are trying to talk about building a program, when you're talking about, hey, come and invest time here, we're going to make you a better player. And then the player turns around and says, well, how much are you going to pay me? It really changes the entire emphasis of it all. And I remember, you know, talking to Channing Crowder and a lot of other, you know, guys who played for Saban over the years. And they're like, look, there's a reason he went to college. He didn't want to deal with the financial side of this. He didn't want to deal with having to pay players and, you know, deal with guys who weren't about the game itself, right? Who weren't about how do I become a better player? And I agree. I think a lot of the older coaches in today's game are ultimately taking a look at this whole situation with NIL and saying, man, is this what I got into this for, right? To deal with salary cap, right? Or deal with how much money I can spend to get a player to come to me. It's just not a pleasurable experience. And so I don't know. Again, I don't know that that's necessarily Katie's case. I haven't spoken to her. But I think certainly for a lot of coaches, it is a factor in why a lot of guys and women are deciding that, hey, you know what? I've coached a long time. I don't enjoy this part of it. I'm going to move on.
I don't think Jim Larrañaga enjoys this part of it either.
No.
That speech he had at the end.
Right.
Oh, and so I, again, another guy that's been at it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so he did it the other way for a long time. And by the way, this is a guy that's probably used to not paying people like Calipari, right, or allegedly or whatever, like mm-hmm. they do at other schools that they,
right.
George Mason at UM, you're not buying players, bro. And it's just, you know, you're not Kentucky, North Carolina and Duke and all that, that probably you can do some other things behind the scenes that, you know, you normally can't. So I wonder how much time, because I think that's going to suck the passion out of Jim Larrañaga too, that the way he talked about it at the end of the year, it was more, you know, he clearly expressed how it's all about the person and not about the team anymore.
Yeah, it's what your core beliefs are as a coach, why you got into it. And all these people ultimately had a decision to make, right? Do I want to go and spend all the hours recruiting? Because that's really what it is, the difference between college and the NFL. Do I want to spend all this time recruiting, investing all this energy, going to AAU tournaments on the basketball circuit? Do I want to spend all this time when in the end, it's not about player development anymore. It's about how much can you pay me? And right. So it completely changed the dynamic of what it is that you're doing it for, right? It's becoming professional sports for a lot of these guys.
Or
so,
playing time, right? Or if I'm or not playing, getting...
Right, what can you do for me to help me? Right.
Or money, yeah, exactly, right.
Right, and I think the other part of it too, oh, that probably isn't talked about enough is I think the arrogance on the other side of it, because I think so many people are getting paid now because of NIL, because the boosters are directly involved now, because there's no fear anymore of getting caught and getting in trouble that... a lot of players think, well, I'm worth this, right? Like I they're going to pay me this much of the school. That means I'm worth it. And then they get to college and they don't really develop or they don't get any better or they struggle. And now it's the coach's fault. Well, he's not doing what he's supposed to do because clearly I'm making X amount of money. So I must be good. They paid me this. I must be good. So that's what's being lost in all that. And I think, you know, you can look at the NFL and the NBA as examples of how this happens with young people, right? When people leave early for the NFL draft or they leave early, you know, to get into the NBA draft after 1 year in college or 1 year overseas, and all of a sudden they come back and you're like, man, that's a talented player. Why didn't they work out? Why did they fizzle out? Maybe they just didn't have the maturity to deal with being told by the coach or the team that you know, was working with them or drafted them or whatever the case is, that, hey, you need time to develop. You need time to grow as a person before you can really become an excellent pro. And so now you're dealing with 18 and 19 year olds, right? Dealing with that. Hey, I'm making money. I must be good. You guys paid me to come here. Right. So there's a sense of entitlement, a sense of that wasn't there before. It really wasn't. Maybe for a select few it was, as you said, you know, the SEC and some other schools have been doing this for a long time. Maybe there was a sense of entitlement, but it's not to the extent now where everyone in your locker room has a sense of entitlement. I'm here. I must be paid. I'm getting paid. That means I must be good. It's your fault now as a coach that I'm not excelling the way that I should. So that's a part that just is not enjoyable, I think, for a lot of people in this profession. And ultimately, I'm very interested to see how many people stick around the college game now the way it is. I think at some point it has to change because it's a much tougher job. And to me, it's a much tougher job being a college coach than it is a professional coach.
Oh, hell yeah. And then, so here's the dynamics that I wanted to get into. Mm-hmm. So now we turn to Mario.
Yeah.
Who lives it and attacks it and is not fazed by it. And that's because now we have the different generational coach. Mm-hmm. Instead of he's not a grizzled coach that did it the old way for 15, 20, 30 years. And then all of a sudden now this whole shit has changed on him.
Right.
That happened to Katie and that happened to Jim. To him, he just grew up in this era because it really started for him in Oregon.
I would say in Alabama, really in Alabama when he was a good assistant there.
But I'm saying as a head coach carrying the mm-hmm. whole burden of it, so yeah. He had his years in Oregon, now here. So he's young enough that he's grown with the system that just changed and mm-hmm. wasn't really jaded enough to have lived, you know, kind of like I am. Like I lived right. 90s radio in very early 2000s,
right.
where the money was flowing.
Yep.
Flowing.
Yes, and brother.
Yeah, they don't make shit now, bro. I'm telling you, they don't make jack now. So, you know, and so you get jaded because you're like, mm-hmm. yo, bro, things used to be a lot better, and the system and the way we used to have small companies that owned all kinds of radio stations. So then a lot of competition, a lot of jobs, you know, money was flowing.
Yeah.
We got four companies buying all the stations. That's it. They screwed everything up. You know what I'm saying? Monopoly. Yeah. So it's interesting, the dynamics now, how the only way really you're going to survive in today's game is really you have to be a young coach that understands what you're in. And you're kind of, you know, you can live with it. But older coaches are the ones that are just going to die by the wayside because they just hate this system now, kind of like I hate radio.
Yeah. It's funny. I had this conversation with my editor, Walter V, a couple of days ago. But there is an advantage to having Mario here. Number one.
Like, used to pay in newspapers? Was that the...
Exactly. Right. Before he had to leave the newspaper game and go and freelance and write for 8 different websites so he can make enough money to survive. But we had this conversation and I said to him, I said, what makes Mario unique in a lot of ways from other coaches is Miami is his home. So there's a different level of, I'm going to fight to make sure this gets right. Right. Like yeah. If Mario goes to an alumni meeting and Miami's football continues to suck, right, and it doesn't get better under him, he's got the pressure from all of his ex-teammates who are going to be yelling and screaming at him saying, man, how could you let this happen to the program, right? There's an ulterior motive besides the money, besides everything else. He has to get it. Like for him, there's that internalized pressure. I got to get this right because he played at Miami, because he went to Miami, because he won championships in Miami. For other coaches in this profession, they take a job at a school that they are just making a bunch of money at but didn't go to, don't have any real emotional ties to. They're mercenaries. So it's a different mentality. They're not going to go maybe as hard because they'll say to themselves, you know what? It didn't work out here. I got fired. I got to go somewhere else, you know? Or, hey, I made them a little better. Now I'm leaving. I'm jumping. I'm taking off to another place. So, again, the whole dynamic of college coaching, it's fascinating, to see what's going to happen as this thing evolves. Because, like you said, a lot of them, what they got into it for, I don't think it's the same anymore by any stretch of the imagination. And so hiring, firing, those kind of decisions to me are going to be interesting. Like if you're a guy like Dan Radakovich, and I know there's a lot of Miami fans that want to see Miami win, Mario Cristobal's got a 10-year contract, right? He's in year 3 of that 10-year contract for $80 million. You know he's working his ass off to get this thing right. You know that he's recruiting his ass off and doing everything possible. Yeah. You know, in 2 or 3 years, are you going to fire him if Miami still isn't at 10 or 11 wins or doesn't make a playoff? Or do you say, man, who are we going to get? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is there really anybody out there who's going to give as much as he is trying to get this right? So I think those are the kind of decisions athletic directors and athletic departments are going to have to make in the years to come is, do I have somebody who really loves this program, is willing to give, to go all out the way I need them to?
Yeah. And that is, I don't know if you'll ever get anybody that will fight like that guy. That's for sure. And he does care, but it's an interesting dynamic. And I think we're going to see a wave of new coaches here in the next couple of years. It's already started. You know, look at Chip Kelly. He was like, no way, dude. And he was in Oregon for a while too, but so he did it the old way. And he was like, I'm done. I'm just, you know, I'd rather be a coordinator instead. So I carry less of the burden and shit. This is what's going to end up happening, dude. A lot of these guys are going to say, I don't need this. And really, in the end, it's what you just kind of hinted in a way. The energy you need nowadays for this is a lot more than you did in the past. Mm-hmm. Because you have to maintain throughout and you have to be a psychologist year-round and all this. So it takes a younger person in order to do this.
It takes somebody who has ulterior reasons beyond money to want to do this job now. Like, you really have to love it in my mind. And it can't just be, hey, I want to help kids get better. Hey, it has to be, I really love this program. Because if you're going to deal with the amount of crap you have to deal with now, with players talking about money and raising money and getting paid and just all of that comes into it now, you have to love it for more than just the contract. And I think, like you said, like this whole thing with Chip Kelly and just going to becoming a coordinator, I think that's the wave of the future now. And with the Big Ten and SEC having all of that TV money, how many head coaches that are in the ACC or Big 12 or whatever conferences are left after the smoke settles here say, you know what? I don't need to be a head coach and play from behind the entire time. I'm going to go be a coordinator at a Big Ten or an SEC school and just coach and not have to worry about all the crap. I think we're going to see a lot of that happening.
Anything new in recruiting?
Well, just they've got a lot of people visiting. Jamie French, who's a five-star receiver, one of the best in the country. He's a former Alabama commitment, 2025. He's among the kids, I think, visiting this weekend. We're going to start to see a wave of commitments, I think, here over the next few weeks in college football, because this is the time when all the players start coming down for spring visits and, you know, locking in official visits in the summer. And so you start to see guys say, well, you know what, I'm going to jump on this. I'm going to commit now. I'll go through my visits and then I'll make a final decision. So it's just the way recruiting is now. It's silly. I call it silly season, because it's like these commitments mean nothing. But right. Kids want to do them. They want to have their moment in the sun. And sometimes they want to have it two and three times. You know, hey, look, I committed. Everybody's excited. I committed to Miami or I committed to Alabama. But you know what? I'm going to still take my visits and then I'm going to decommit. And then I'm going to build up the drama for, you know, National Signing Day in December. So it is what it is. It's silly season. But a lot of players, again, Miami fans never need to worry about recruiting because Mario and the NIL system that they have built, they're going to pay guys, A, which is the most important part now, and B, they're going to recruit the crap out of them, which is just as important to me that Mario cares and pursues these guys as hard as he does. So, but in the end, these kids are going to see what happens this year. This is a very important year, year three. You got Cam Ward. You've got some you know, big-time guys here that I think are NFL-caliber players. This is a year that Miami has to be better on the field. So they will watch that, and I think ultimately that will decide how good this next recruiting class is in December.
Any of this noise with the ACC and Clemson and Florida State and anything, you know, nothing, right? This is all smoke screens and BS.
Well, it's just trying. What it is schools trying different ways to get out of the Granterites, right? It's, hey, can we take it to court? And we're trying three or four different ways to say, can we get out of this if we can get an invite to the Big Ten.
Isn't this the ironclad thing that every conference has that nobody's been able to ever get out of?
That's 100% correct. But you know what? It only takes one judge, right, to ultimately open the door. As we saw what happened with NIL, right? The people in Virginia and Tennessee fought to change the NIL rules and the transfer rules. And so who knows what's going to happen anymore? I think if you're Clemson and you're Florida State, and you're looking at the future, those are different programs in Miami. Miami has a lot of private, big-time donors and money. SMU has a lot of private, big-time. They're in major cities. Tallahassee and Clemson, South Carolina, they don't have right. The same kind of money around those programs. So they look at the game differently. They look at it like, man, we better get to the SEC. We better get to the Big Ten, or we're going to fall way behind, and we may never catch up. Whereas I think Miami is in a different financial position, the same way SMU is in a different financial position, where they can say, you know what, ACC, you don't even need to pay us. We got all the oil money we need right here. And all these billionaires in the city of Dallas that love our program, that came to SMU, that want to see us win, you know, they'll carry us financially. But I think Florida State and Clemson are in a different boat. And I think a lot of other ACC schools are in a different boat. So, you know, that's why Miami isn't speaking up right now. That's why Dan Radakovich and a lot of other people are just sort of watching to see what happens here. But
he was on with Joe this week, and mm-hmm. he took the most PR approach I have.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. PC approach that he could possibly take. He didn't want to ruffle any feathers, and he was making it sound like, yeah, everything's hunky-dory. Bro, we love everything about the ACC and mm-hmm. everything, which, come on.
Well, listen, the reality is this. Miami is in a situation, again, where financially, I know people think I'm crazy when I'm saying this, to be $30 or $40 million behind every single year is not where any school wants to be. But again, there's a different backing here. So Miami looks at it as, hey, we're still in a Power 4 conference school. Yes, people are talking about a Power 2, but they look at it as, hey, we can make money. We can win the ACC. We can be the dominant program in this league. And if we have to move to the Big Ten or the SEC, we will. But Miami feels very confident in what they have going right now. So I don't, there's not the same sense of desperation as these other schools have.
Yeah, big time. All right, what do you got going on in the athletics so folks can check you out, my man?
Well, like I said, I was working on those All-State projects, picking the All-State teams and recruiting since 2002. So that'll be a fun thing that hopefully comes out here over the next few weeks. You know, they told me, I asked my editor, I said, hey, what do you want me to do these things? He goes, hey, man, it's big time March Madness. Everybody, all anybody cares about right now are their brackets and watching basketball. So unfortunately, no Miami teams in either of the tournaments, right? Katie Meyer's team got screwed, even though they won 19 games.
FIU made it to the NIT, the women.
Yeah, FIU, congratulations to them, right? Making the women's.
And Nova is in the
oh, yeah.
Elite. Okay,
yes, so in there in the Division II, right?
Yeah, Tuesday they take on Southern New Hampshire University at 3:30. So good luck to Nova. We gotta give
64. What is it? 64 straight home wins or something like that for that Nova basketball program? Something crazy.
Yeah. Lost this year, they lost them both on the road.
So tremendous job by that coaching staff over there, man, to no excuses, keep it going after flipping their whole roster too. I think that they lost all their players, so
done an excellent job there, dude. He's some serious ass. All right, follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro and catch his work there at The Athletic. Manny, as always, thank you, my brother, appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
You too, brother, take care.
Thank you, sir. There you go. And go to Caneswear. Use our code BIGO10. You will get 10% off if you go live in person. But if you go online at caneswear.com, you will also get 10% off. And if you order over $99, they will give you free shipping. Okay, Jeff and the folks, they ship right away. So you put it in, you'll get it right away. They got anything and everything practically with a Canes logo on it. Dolphins, Marlins, Panthers, Heat, Inter Miami gear. Check it out. Caneswear.com.